21st century just for a couple of days. Because I really like my electricity, and I like football, and I like a lot of things that they didn't have in the first century. But I tell you what, here's why I would like to go back. When I picture the apostles, I have a picture in my mind that is probably not an accurate representation of the way they would have been perceived in the first century. When I think of the apostles of Jesus Christ, I think of these like men that everybody would like look up to. These men that everybody would flock to. And then I read 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And that is not what the apostles, those sent by Jesus Christ, were thought of. Did you notice in our reading there of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 of how they are? I want you to notice this in verse 9. I think God has exhibited us apostles. And the word exhibited is just like we would use it in an art exhibition. He is showing us off. For notice this, verse 9. Last of all, like men sentenced to death, and we've become the spectacle of the world to angels and to men. We are the thing that everybody is looking at. And God has set us forth in that way. But it's not in a beautiful picture, is it? We are weak, he says. You are strong. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. We picture that? We talk about Paul being going nights in the sea, and there's sleepless nights and hungry nights. I wonder how many of those nights there actually were. Jesus says, you remember, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And the apostles were much like him. Well, that might be bad. You look at them, okay, they're naked, they're homeless. I want you to see how he concludes this thought in verse 13. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. People look at them as they are dumb. Now, does that seem right? No, it doesn't seem right. And people that would look at them as the refuge, the stuff that is to be thrown out, how would you think they would look at them? They are weak. But you know what the truth is? The truth is they were actually strong. They were looking like everything was against them. And they were sentenced to death. Many of the apostles did die for that. And in front of people. But you know what? They stayed firm and they were strong to the end. Now I want you to go back to what we were talking about a second ago of how we pictured the apostles. If you lived in the first century, I've got a feeling that you would have had to battle with people who were saying, I mean, you know what? Peter ain't right. And Paul ain't right. And James wasn't right before he was killed. And there would be people talking them down all the time. And that's one group of people. There's a group of people that act like they're strong. And they like to flex their muscles and show off their muscles. And how do people usually flex and show off their muscles? It's not by action, but they talk a big game. And they start promoting themselves. And they're like, look at me. Here's what I can do. And that usually comes on the step of putting others down. That Apostle Paul, he's just trying to take your money. That Apostle Peter, he doesn't care about you. And they build themselves up to make themselves look like they're the ones that men should flock to. But the truth is, what is real strength? It's when you actually build others up. When you make someone stronger, take the idea of a beast of burden. A beast of burden is not considered strong because it's stepping on other people, is it? It's considered strong because it is carrying a weight on its shoulders. It's holding it up. And that strength is when you push something up, you hold something up. And in this case, it is other people. And what do with yourself? You think less of yourself. You lower yourself to the point where, like the apostles, they were not just despised by men, they were the most despicable thing to men. And that is strength. And this is what I want to do tonight as we look at the book of 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this very basic principle. That there are people who act strong, and there are people who are actually strong. And actually didn't fit very well in my presentation, so I just went with are strong. But those who act strong and those who are actually strong. Now, here's the deal. I'm not going to go into a lot of context about 2 Corinthians. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about it. I just want you to see how some people like to flex their muscles and make themselves look like they are strong, while in actuality, what those who are strong do. All right? You got me? Let's go to chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Remember, this is the group he's just told, we're the apostles. We're out there for everybody and their neighbor to see. And by the way, they all want to throw us out as dung and garbage and refuse. But you know what? There's a problem. In Corinth, there are some what are called super apostles. And that's not because they're like got superpowers or anything. They're like fake apostles. Where they are trying to come off as apostles of Jesus Christ, but they are not apostles. And what they are doing, if you will look down in verse 12 of chapter 10, it's Paul says this. He says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are, and this is the group, they are commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. What you have is you have this group who is saying, we're good. And there's not just one people in that group. They got other people. They're comparing themselves with themselves. So in their group, they've got a little hierarchy. They're going back and forth, and they're saying, well, we're the best. And they are looking at themselves, and they are comparing themselves to themselves and saying, look at us. You know what the actual strong do? They don't commend themselves. But look at the very last verse of chapter 18. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. I can sit here and I can tell you all day long that I'm sent by the Lord and it's all that. But the Lord commends me. He would say in chapter 13, you seek proof that Christ is in me? He said, look at all the miracles I did. Look at what I've done in your midst. And by the way, not only did the Apostle Paul and those who were with him not have to commend themselves to be like, hey, here's my letter of recommendation that I myself am writing because I've got all these accolades. I want you to go back to chapter 3 very quickly. I want you to see verse 1. Paul says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Do we need to reintroduce ourselves to you? Do we need to tell you our credentials all over again? And he says, verse 2, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And here it is. And you show that you are a letter from Christ. There is the one that the Lord commended. You Corinthians are supposed to be that. Because who started the church in Corinth? Paul did. He says, you're our letter of commendation. When people see you, they should see that this is a church that belongs to Christ. And so I can say all day long that you belong to Christ, but guess what? That doesn't mean a thing. What means a thing, verse 18, is the one back in chapter 10, is that you are commended by the Lord. You are approved by the Lord. Actually, Wes, how does that fit with us? Well, I think sometimes that's what we have to do with our own brethren. If I want some people to come to me, and I want them to take my advice, I have to kind of like let them know, hey, you know how smart I am? Hey, you know how really good I am at this? You know who people normally flock to? The people that aren't around tooting their own horns. The people that aren't around saying, hey, look at me. But the people who do what they say. And that's kind of your next point. Those that act strong, they might say, as they would in verse 7 back in chapter 10, Paul says, look what's before your eyes. Open your eyes, he says. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, so you're an individual, you're Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so also are we. Oh, okay, so you want to boast about being a Christian. Congratulations, I am too. So that ain't going to work. You say you're Christ. Well, guess what? We are too. Let's keep going. Let's see what else he says. Think about this as they might accuse him. Look at chapter 11 as something that they might say to him. Verse 10, and remember this is when he's talking about, I robbed other churches. So I labored with my own hand so that you wouldn't be burdened. All of those things. So verse 10 to verse 9, I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. And as the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia where they were at. And why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. What you have is you have a group of men that are saying, Paul doesn't love you. He's only out to get your money. And he says, are you kidding me? Did you see what I did? I was with you. And I took from other churches while I was with you. And because I don't love you, I kept you from being burdened. I don't love you. God knows I love you. You know how much He loves them? Go to chapter 12 and verse 15. As they haven't spent a dime for Him, they have given him nothing financially. Notice what he says here, verse 14. So here for the third time, I'm ready to come to you. And I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. And here it is. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, why am I loved less? It is like an ungrateful child. For everything that their father or their mother has done for them, and the father or mother is asking nothing in return, but obey me. Do what I say. And you don't want it. You love me less. And here I am. I haven't been a burden to you in the past. And I'm not going to be a burden this time. Why am I loved less? Because some people have bought into, he doesn't love you. He's trying to rob me. What? How low is that? And they would have to be that way, right? Because when Paul comes in, he's speaking with these... Oh, no way. What did they say? Paul in presence is weak, but his letters are mighty. He who's weak in presence is bold when he's away. He doesn't have the guts to say it to your face. He'll write it down when he's way over there, but he doesn't have the guts to say it to your face. And Paul would say, no. I'm bold when I'm there, but I don't want to have to be bold. He threatens to come in like a father with the rod in chapter 13. And he does not want to do that. Paul had demonstrated that he had loved these people. He doesn't love you. What is this other one? This is how a lot of people show their strength. They force others to do it their way. Go to chapter 11 there and verse 20. Again, of these men, and notice kind of how he says, remember a second ago, he said, if they commend themselves and they compare themselves with themselves, they have no understanding. They don't get it. So we would call them fools. And so notice what he says here in chapter 11 and verse 19. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. You guys are so smart. Sarcastically, mind you. You guys are so smart. Verse 20. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. You gladly take it. If somebody wants to come in and just beat you and force you into doing something, you know what you do? You gladly take it. You're like, that's what I want. I want to be devoured. I want to be struck in the face. I want to be somebody's slave. What? He says, you fools. You're so wise. And you know what Paul says? I could have done that. But verse 21, to my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. Paul could have come in with his apostolic authority and beat them into submission. But who wants to be forced to do the right thing? You don't. The strong don't force other people to do the right thing. It's very interesting as he begins the letter about chapter 2 or so. He talks about giving them the opportunity to show their obedience. I think we all want that. Some people we like to be pushed a little bit. We need a prodding. Some of us are very stubborn and we do not like to be prodded in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But none of us like to feel like we are being told what to do all the time. Do it. And in actuality, we're kind of told what to do all the time, aren't we? Because we are slaves of Christ. But you know what Christ did for us? He died for us. You know what these people have done for him? Nothing. They've come in and said, we're so great. We're so good. The Apostle Paul is garbage. And they've taken the show. They've taken the authority. And Paul says, we could have done that. But to my shame, we didn't do that. We were too weak for that. Can you just hear the sadness in his voice? I have you. You're my children in the faith. But yet, you're not. Notice what else these people who act strong do. They claim their nationality, verse 22 of chapter 11. He says, or this is verse 21. I've got verse 22, but verse 21. He says, to my shame, I say we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, and I'm speaking of a fool, I also dare to boast of that. So here's something they're boasting about. You know what? I'll join in this foolishness for a little while. And he said that a couple of times, by the way. Bear with me in this foolishness. Now verse 22. Are they Hebrews, being Jews? Paul says, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Again, just like they're saying they're Christ, I'm also a Jew. Are they the sons of Abraham? So am I. And you remember what he would say in Philippians, right? He was a Jew of the Jew on the eighth day, circumcised and the strictest, and he was advancing beyond all the Pharisees. He could claim that. He could show them, say, you know what? I'm better than you are. You go ask everybody else. So, your birth isn't going to do anything. Okay. We're servants of Christ. Look at verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? And I would say, he's asking that rhetorically. They are not servants of Christ. They are claiming to be servants of Christ, but they are serving themselves. Their God is their belly. And he says, I am a better one. Now, how would you back up being a better servant? Well, notice the list that Paul gives to back up. He said, I'm talking like a madman. I'm out of my mind, but bear with me for a little bit. He says, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments. So what does that mean? They've been doing work. They've been laboring, but he says far more. They've been imprisoned, apparently. Far more imprisonments. And countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And a night and a day I was adrift at sea. And on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all these things, there's the daily pressure of me and my anxiety for all the churches. Does that sound like somebody who hasn't been doing anything? That's somebody who's been risking his neck for the sake of the gospel a lot. And as he says, far more than these jokers are. So what's he say? What's this all about? You know what they're saying to him? He doesn't understand you. Because notice verse 29. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? I think what he's saying is, who among you is weak and I don't sympathize and I don't empathize with that? Look at what I've gone through. Look at what I'm considered the spectacle of all the world. I understand what it's like to be weak. And not only do I understand, I am angered. I am indignant when they cause you to fall. Which is what these people have been doing. They were causing them to fall. And he said, not only do I feel your pain, I'm angered by what they've done to you. Wouldn't you love somebody to stick up for you like that? Where they're risking their neck for you. But not really for you, is it? They're doing it for Christ, their Lord. So what did the strong people do? They didn't look strong. But they were strong. What are some common characteristics between those who are strong? You know what? They boast too. Strong people boast. Go to chapter 10 and verse 17 and notice where they boast. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You see how he just built someone else up besides himself? If you're going to boast about someone or something, he says, if any man boasts, let him boast in the Lord. And you notice your contrast there. For it is not the one who commends himself. It's not the one who builds himself up. You boast in the Lord. Why? Why boast in the Lord of all this? I want you to notice how he says about his authority that he's received. Go back there in chapter 10. And I want you to notice verse 8. We were in verse 7 a second ago of, are they Christ's? So am I. But verse 8. For even if I boast a little too much of our authority. He's got apostolic authority. Let me tell you what this authority is. My authority, which the Lord gave, for what purpose? For building up and not destroying you. I will not be ashamed. I won't be ashamed at all to tell you that my authority is to build you up, not tear you down. You might say, well, he says that once. He says it twice. Go to chapter 13. For this reason I write these things to you, that while I am away from you, that when I come, I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority that the Lord has given me. Why? For building up and not tearing down. You know what? I get the impression that if he had come in and he would have given the teaching of what the Lord would have him to do, that the people would have thought, he's just trying to tear us down. He's just trying to make himself look bigger. And that's what they'd say. Paul's just trying to put you under his thumb. He says, my authority is not for that. My authority is not to tear you down or push you down. My authority from the Lord is to build you up. And isn't that what he'd been demonstrating the whole time? He hadn't burdened them. He had admonished them and encouraged them and said, as children, I will gladly spend and be spent. But yet you love me less. He'd been trying to build them up, but guess what? People have to want to be built up in order to be built up. His authority was not to go in and say, you have to do it this way. His authority was, you go and you speak my words, which will build the hearers up if they do it. That's what he said. So I boast in the Lord. I boast in the authority that he gave me. But notice what else he's willing to boast in. Go to chapter 12. And this is the one that we know pretty well. You remember? He would go on to say, as he's kind of defending himself against these super apostles, he'd be like, you know what? I could go on to revelations and visions. There was a guy I know. I won't mention him by name, but there was a guy I know. And he was caught up into the third heaven. And he saw things in heaven that no man can utter. And I'd be like, yeah. And you know what people today, this is a side note, not really tying in with the lesson. You know what people do today? When they say that they've been into heaven, they like to tell you what it's all about. They like to say, you know what, this is what heaven is like, and I saw this and I saw that. That's not the occasion here. The occasion here is you cannot utter these things. They can't be told. I think it's the difference of someone actually going and someone saying they've gone. But that's on the side note, and so we'll just have to go from there. I'm allowed as a preacher to get on my soapbox for a second, right? Okay, good. Let's pick back up. Verse 5. So on behalf of this man, I will boast. But what? But on my behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. If I'm going to boast about myself, he says, I'm going to boast about how weak I am, about my problems. And there was this one specific one that was given to him, so that he wouldn't become so puffed up and so conceited, verse 7. And verse 6, let's read that. Though if I should and wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I'd be speaking the truth. I wouldn't be lying to you. I'm speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in here, that he sees in me, or he hears from me. I'll prove it to you. So verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. You want to go see what heaven is like now? He said, you know what I got for going up into the third heaven? I couldn't talk about it, and so I wouldn't get too puffed up and too conceited. I got a messenger from Satan to buffet me. And it hurt. It was a problem. Whatever this thorn in the flesh is, he said it was so bad, verse 8, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. I wanted to get rid of it. And I'm sure he was saying in his prayer, I won't get too conceited. I get the point, God. I won't get too puffed up. But he said to me, and here's the building of the others up, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see what happens when we talk about how weak we really are? Who the glory goes to? The Lord is able to show His perfect power and His perfect strength by taking us lowly, weak humans and using us for His glory. And so I will gladly boast in how weak I am. And so verse 10, for the sake of Christ, I am, and I think this is a progression that he had to get to, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I don't think when he first got that messenger from Satan that he was content with weaknesses. I pleaded 3 times. But you know what? He gets it now. He understands that his weakness is able to perfect the Lord's strength. And so instead of pleading for that to be taken away, what's he say I'm going to do about it? I'm going to glory in all of my weaknesses all the more. Because that's when I'm really strong. Is when I think less of myself and more of Him. Isn't that what John the Baptist said? I must decrease and He, that is Jesus, must increase. So Paul will want to learn. I tell you what, I've got to learn that. That I need to be weak so that I may be strong. Do you know what these strong people do? They are glad about this. They continue to be weak. And notice this, for other people. Go to chapter, we just read that, when I am weak, I am strong. But I want you to go to chapter 13. I want you to see verse 9. We can go to other places in this particular book to see this. But I want you to see, let's see verse 8. Again, they're wanting proof that everything that he's doing is from the Lord. He says, hey, we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. Therefore, for this reason, as we already saw, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to use my authority to build you up. How happy and satisfied and content and glad are you when you got to carry somebody else? When you're down, but you're lifting them up. Or you're down and you're holding them up. I'm going to tell you, I'm not there yet. Because a lot of times I feel like, why do I have to do this? And so you know what I do? I complain about it. And you know what that does? that puts the emphasis on me because I'm so strong. That's not what he's saying. I'm glad to be weak for your sake. I'm glad to be looked down upon by everyone else because I'm just trying to build you up. I'm just trying to make you look stronger. So if I have to be counted as refuse of the world, so be it. If I have to be a spectacle, so be it. If I have to be sentenced to death, so be it. Because all I care about is you. I care about you being restored to the Lord, as Michael pointed out, maybe it was last Sunday. So therefore, I'm glad when I'm weak and you're strong. And that's not tongue-in-cheek. He called them wise and he called them strong in 1 Corinthians 4, tongue-in-cheek. What he really wants is for them to be strong. So I have to ask myself the question. Do I appear weak like Christ? Because he uses this in chapter 13 as we conclude. I want you to see 13 of how he uses this. Verse 3. Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. And here it is. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. We also are weak in Him, but in dealing with you, we will live with Him by the power of God. You know what he points out? They thought Christ was weak too. How could you let somebody crucify you? And you know maybe you know this, maybe you don't. The earliest depiction that we have of Jesus on the cross, you remember what that picture is? It is a person with a donkey's head on a cross. That's what they thought of Jesus. They thought of Him as someone with a donkey's head and people worshiping Him. But was He weak? He was strong. And He lives. And you know what? If we're in Him, you know what people think about us? We're weak. Man, you're just those Christians that just buy into everything. You're just those Christians that don't think for yourself. You're just those Christians that blah, blah, blah. But yet we live in the power of God. Because just as He raised Him from the dead, you know what He can do? Raise us from the dead. And He will. But I tell you what, we ain't raising ourselves from the dead. We can be strong now if you want to. We can act strong. I got everything under control. I'm sufficient. I got everything. I can talk up myself. Or I tell you what, I can actually be strong. I can build up myself and put others down so that everyone flocks to me and everyone thinks I'm this great Christian. Or I can build up Christ and humble myself and actually be strong because I'm being like the Lord. I think we want to be strong people. Let's be building each other up and worrying less about ourselves. If you're subject to the invitation in any way this evening, we'd ask that you come now and we stand and ever sing.